Our scripture today is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. You're welcome to follow along in the Pew Bible or Bible at home, verses 11 to 16. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to prepare hearts and our minds to receive this, your word, that as we read this, Lord, may that which you desire of us be upon our hearts. May we learn what it is that you have for us, and may we always use it for your glory. And pray also for your spirit to be upon the sermon, for your grace and mercy, that it too might be used for you and you alone. We thank you for all that you are, and we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 16. Of course, this is from our PTS devotional for today, but I did add a couple verses, at least one anyway. So hear now God's word. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I were ever up on stage, and I have been up on stage, the empty stage is always the best. When there's no one watching you, and you can make all the mistakes that you ever want, that's the very best. Now, when I served a church in Grace United Methodist Church prior to this up in Eternal Heights, every Thursday or Friday, as I was working on the sermon, I would go out into the sanctuary when there was no one there, and I would work on the sermon. I would say it two or three different times, make tons of mistakes. And the sermons I usually preached on Thursday or Friday weren't always exactly, you know, there's always some differences when I preach on Sunday. But it was a chance just to be free, to not be perfect, to not feel the stress of everyone's eyes looking at me, you know, like happening right now. Okay, that's fine now. But it was just nice. But of course, I am an introvert by nature, and being alone and by myself is like ideal. It's so nice just to have time alone, to have that silence, to let the thoughts wander, to talk out loud, to talk to myself, and not have anyone judge me because of it. Because I have lots of arguments with myself, and I often lose. So, and I don't want anyone else to be there, you know, to see that. Being alone, I tell you, at times, is quite freeing. You can be exactly who you are, and there's no one there to say anything about it, except for Christ, and Christ loves me. And so when we say the phrase, the world's a stage, I just hope no one's there to watch it. But the truth is it's not true. The world is a stage, and there are people watching. And that can be such a daunting thing. The fact that how we live, how we act, who we are, is seen by others. I used to have this fantasy. I can say with a lot of Thanksgiving that I don't have the fantasy anymore, but maybe on occasion. to crawl underneath a rock and go to sleep for 5 years? How nice would that be? Sure, you would miss a lot, but you could experience it when you wake up, or, you know, at least hear about it. Oh, man, just sometimes, charge conference season, that's like the best time, just to fall asleep and wait till it's over. I'm so thankful for, more than she knows, for Linda, who really helps so much in that. Makes it so much easier and runs so much more smoothly. But then, of course, charge conference, that's, you know, here and there, but the big things in life, sometimes we just like to skip, but we can't. We got to be a part of them. Again, the world's a stage in which we have to play our part. And so much of what we're talking about now is also involved in our Christian life. Our Christian life is split into many different categories, but alone and in public are a major too. You can live out your love and who you are in Christ by yourself. You can pray, you can study, you can read scripture, you can talk to God, you can walk in the woods, you can enjoy creation, you can meditate, you can do it silently out loud. However it is, you can enjoy your Christianity by yourself. But when you're with other people, your Christianity is put on display for everyone to see. And the thing is that people are watching. When you say to yourself, or when you say out loud and you confess, I am a Christian, I belong to God, people pay attention to what that looks like. And it's for everyone. And Timothy's no different. Paul was writing to Timothy, and one of the first things he had said to him, but you, man of God, flee from all this. Now, all this that they're talking about is in the previous scripture. Paul was talking about how one should avoid the temptations of money. Money is a root of all kinds of evil. And that contentment with godliness is one of the best things that we can strive for. And what that means is being happy with what God gives us, using that for God's glory and not seeking anything other than that. A materialistic approach, those kinds of things Paul warns against. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, which reminds us it's not always easy. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This reminds me of baptism. Baptism at its best is done with people there, with the church gathered around the child or the adult. It's when in that moment God looks at everybody and says for everyone to hear, I love this person. One of the things that I love about God is God's not afraid of PDA, public display of affection. There's no this sense of don't do that in public. You'll embarrass me. I was a terrible boyfriend growing up. With one of my one of the girlfriends that I was with, she had a truck. I had a truck. I didn't have a truck. I had a car. Now I'm trying to think whose vehicle was I in, because this isn't right. Whose vehicle was I in? I don't know. We were in a truck, and I don't know why, because I don't have a truck. Well, anyway, so we're in this truck, and I have no idea where it came from. But I'm driving it again, and I have no idea why. We're in West Virginia. I do remember that. But anyway, she scooched over to sit right next to me, you know, because the trucks have those bench seats. And Boy, I didn't like that, and I asked her to scoot over. Terrible, terrible, terrible boyfriend. But for some reason, at that time, I didn't like that public display of affection. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I would love for Stephanie to sit next to me now, but that console's awfully not comfortable. So she's not going to sit there. But it's just not this, or just people that are uncomfortable with displaying affection in public. People who aren't comfortable holding hands while walking in the mall, or receiving a hug or a kiss or whatever it might be. But the neat thing is that what we learn from God is that God has no such qualms in this. When it comes to displaying God's affection to us, that happens when we're by ourselves or in public. God doesn't withhold God's display. And so when Paul told Timothy that, remember the good confession that you made in the presence of many witnesses, all of us at one point or another has made that confession, whether it be through baptism or at another point in our life. I want you to think for a moment. When have you declared to other people that you love God? Think about that for a moment. Embrace. What was that time? What did you feel? What was the situation when you said to other people, I trust God, I love God? I'll give you a moment to think about that. I know that could be one of the best moments in a Christian's life. To finally, and it happens again and again, to finally stand on Christ, not caring what and anyone else thinks. Knowing that you have made the decision that matters. But we live in a life of, I was going to say pits and valleys, but those are all down there. Mountains and valleys. We live in a life of ups and downs. And those confessions that we make for Jesus Christ, where we know that in that moment we're standing solidly upon God, sometimes we walk different paths. Sometimes we don't feel that exhilaration anymore. Sometimes we wonder if it's true anymore. Our own founder, John Wesley, had been a Christian for many, many, many years, but doubted his salvation every day until one moment, he said he has a heartwarming experience where he knew beyond the shadow of the doubt that he knew intellectually that God loved him, but now he knew through his heart that that was true. And his salvation was assured in that moment for him. But even after that, if you read his journals, then a few months or maybe even a year later, he wrote, of all the sinners in the entire world, I am the worst. So even he struggled with these mountains and valleys. But remembering that moment where we stood upon Christ with that confession, it was a good moment. It reminds me of marriage. One of my favorite toasts that I've heard at a wedding reception was by a bridesmaid, and she toasted the bride and groom, and she said, "May this day be the worst day of the rest of your life." And I thought, that's really sweet. But she just wanted to go up from here. I mean, it's pretty high where it is. It just wanted to keep improving. But it reminds us, it reminded me when I heard that statement, is that when you're getting married and you look at one another in the presence of everyone else, you're making a confession, which is, I love this person and I will, whatever the vows say, for better, for worse, richer, for poorer, sickness and health, till death do us part. And may have missed a couple here and there. We make that promise in the presence of everyone else so that then we can strive to live it out every day following. One decision affects the rest of our life. For good, sometimes for not so good. But our life is played in public, where we need to keep that confession close at our hearts and live it every moment of every day. What I like about this is this. Paul says to Timothy, you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who while testifying Pontius Pilate, before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. That Jesus doesn't tell us to do things that Christ isn't willing to do himself. That as Jesus was standing up there before Pontius Pilate, with everyone around him, Jesus had a choice of who to stand on. And in that moment, he picked his father. He made the good confession in front of everyone. This is who I am. And this is how I will live. Even though he knew that that confession would bring him the cross. But yet he said it anyway. For us. Because of Christ's conviction, we are saved. We will get opportunity every day of our life, at one time or another, to make the good confession in front of everybody. But here's one of the things that does bring me comfort. If we say that the world's a stage, I pray to God that I am not the star, that I'm just a supporting character, supporting Jesus Christ, who is the star of this world, and I pray the star of my life. The world's a stage. I pray that we are able to make the good confession of whose we are and stand upon that always, remembering that Christ walks with us, helps us, and loves us in the midst of all. I leave you with this benediction today. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power and work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.